Well, good morning. I didn't hear you loud and clear. Good morning. Welcome to worship. Let's all stand together and start our worship this morning with glory to His name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. From sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this mountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. You may be seated.
Happy Sunday. Usually when you see me, I'm up here talking about Vacation Bible School. We are only 6 weeks away from the kids getting out of school. Yay, from the teachers and the kids are all excited. But our Bible school is coming up the end of June, and we need your help decorating. So we know how many Amazon boxes you get at your house. If you will look for the paper packaging inside those boxes, not the bubble wrap. We don't need the boxes. We need that paper wrapping sometimes they give you when they ship things to you. We're going to be using that to make vines. So if you will just give us the paper, we all have a box in the foyer for you to dump it in every Sunday. We also want you to look and see if you have any greenery at your house, plants like this at the side, anything green that we could use, if you could put your names on them. If you purchase ferns in June and you don't mind us using them just for that week, we would appreciate us. Just put your names on them. We'll take really good care of them and make sure they get returned back to you. And we're asking the kids, if you don't mind looking through your toys, if you have any safari animals, jungle animals, if you would let us borrow those, we would appreciate that. Just put your name on them, please, somehow, and we'll make sure you get those back, too. We want to encourage you to come help us decorate beginning in May. We'll decorate on Saturdays. We'll meet in the youth building. We will be very conscious of your time. We just decorate from 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. If you can pick a Saturday to come join us, if you want to come every Saturday and join us, we'll start in May and then we'll go through until Bible school. Thank you.
You have an excuse to order all that stuff from Amazon you've been wanting to get. You've had it in your cart for a while now. Go ahead and click by now so that we can get that paper. Well, that's what we need. And just convince your spouse or your parents, whatever it may be, that you're doing it so that you can help the church, okay? We appreciate your help with all these donations and anything that you can do to help us out. We appreciate it. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here. Hope that you picked up a bulletin on the way in. All the announcements there are extremely important, and all of them are there for your benefit. Some of them are time sensitive, so just making sure that you're aware of what's going on. We'll make sure that you are within the schedule of things, if you need to sign up or whatever the case may be. I do need to make one correction. On our screen, it said that graduation Sunday was Sunday, May 9th, but it's Sunday, May 19th. We just forgot to put the 1 in front of the 9, so I apologize for that if it was any confusion to you. It is right in the bulletin. It just wasn't right on the screen. But we wanted to make sure you had the right date for that. We're going to take just a moment to pray together, but before we do, we want to invite all of our children that would like to go to Kids Church to go ahead and slide out of the pews and just wait back at the back door, boys. Wait back at the back door. And then the workers are coming their way that way, and they'll take you on down to the Kids Church room. All right, let's take just a moment to pray together. Our Father and our God, it's so good to be in this house of worship on this Lord's Day. And we know, Lord, there's not a single one of us in this room right now that's here by accident. But that, God, you have given us a divine appointment. You knew long before this day was ever etched upon a calendar that this day, this time, this place would be here. And Lord, you've called us together to be a part of this gathering, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we also realize that because we do have this divine appointment with you, and we are here by your grace and your mercy, Lord, we know that there's a reason we're here. And we just pray that during our time together today, as we sing of your great glory and majesty, as we encounter your living word, that God, you will bring that reason, that purpose to life within us. That God, will be changed because we were here today. We met you because you called us here, and you did what only you could do in our lives. And we're going to leave out of here today, having been transformed by your word and by your presence. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for who you are. We pray for those of our church, our community, that would love more than anything to be in this room with us right now, but they can't because of health issues and situations, Lord, that are beyond their control. And God, we pray for them. We pray that they know that we love them, we miss them, and we look forward to the day when we can all worship together again. Guide us in our time today, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's continue our worship. Let's stand as we continue singing together. You were the Word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name.
Morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful spring day. We're reminded that between the pollen and the warmer weather that the seasons change, but you're the same God from the beginning of time. We thank you so much for that. We pray that you'd be with us as we continue with the service, with the singing, with the kids downstairs, our tithes and offerings, and the word that Pastor Tommy is going to bring to us. May it be acceptable and pleasing to you. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Take that part with us there.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I like that song. I really do. I like that song. I liked it since the first time that I've heard it, and have enjoyed every time that I've had the opportunity to hear it. I speak the name of Jesus. The Bible says that it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There is no more powerful name on the planet than the name of Jesus. And it's not because the name is powerful, it's because the name of the person is powerful. He's the one with the power. Thank you again for being here today. Good job, Josh. Thank you for your help. Thank you, praise team and our musicians. If you have your Bibles, would you join me in Nehemiah chapter number 12? Nehemiah chapter number 12. Now, unless your Bible is different from mine, there's only 13 chapters in Nehemiah, so that means we finish up next week in our series on Nehemiah, God's Plan and My Purpose. I hope that it's been an encouragement and a blessing to you as we've gone through this together. The last Sunday of this month, the 28th, Brandon is going to be kicking off a new series that we're going to be doing as we will be walking through and preaching through the book of Mark, one of the Gospels. And so I'm excited about that, looking forward to being able to do that, and I hope that you'll be here for each one of those installations of that series. Excuse me, today we're in Nehemiah chapter 12. I want to begin all the way down at verse number 27. So if you go all the way down to verse number 27, we're going to start there, and we're going to read verse 27 through verse 30. Here's what the Bible says. It's God speaking to us through Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they could celebrate the dedication with joy, with songs of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the territory around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal and from their fields to Geba and Asmaveth, because the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for this privilege that is ours to be in this house of worship, to be able to open the inerrant, the infallible, the authoritative, and inspired Word of God, to be able to study from these pages, understanding, Lord, that this is so much more than just a book, and these are so much more than words on a page, but that these are the living, breathing, life-changing, transforming words of God. And Lord, today as we study your word, may your word come to life within us. May the Holy Spirit of God, who moved on the heart, the mind, the hand of Nehemiah as he penned these words, now move upon our heart to receive them and accept them. And God, may this be a day when your word transforms us as only it can. Guide us in our time together is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we've entitled our question. We've been asking a question every week as we've gone through the chapters. And the question this week is, how should I worship? Now the reason we chose that question is because that is the theme of chapter 12 of Nehemiah. It is a chapter that focuses on worship. God's people worshiping Him. Now, one of the greatest and highest purpose for our individual lives is to bring God glory. If you want to know why you were created, if you want to know why you were born into your family, if you want to know why God allows you to exist day in and day out, this is it. You are created to bring Him glory. And everything that you do, you are to bring Him glory. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And there's a period there after that. But then the psalmist steps back and he says, well, I'm not just going to say that's what needs to happen. I'm going to show you how to do it. And then he steps back and he says, praise the Lord. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That is our highest and greatest purpose. Roughly 30 of the Psalms speak directly to the need for people to praise the Lord. And while we are expected to worship as individuals, as people who are in relationship with Jesus Christ and people who are seeking to know God more. We are also expected to worship corporately as a redeemed and a forgiven people whom God has given salvation. That's part of why we come here on Sunday mornings. Yes, we sing together. Yes, we fellowship together. Yes, we have an opportunity to tell each other our burdens and pray with one another. But the primary reason we are here is to corporately, as the body of redeemed, praise Almighty God for who He is and all that He has done. Now, having repented of their sins, having received spiritual revival in the city of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem renew their commitment to worship. You see, that's what repentance and revival should do. It's a sequential deal here. When we repent of our sins, it should lead us to a place of great joy that leads us to a place of great worship. They work hand in hand and sequentially with each other. If you are redeemed by the grace of God, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved by grace, you should be here today to rejoice in the God who has saved you. That's why we're here. Listen, maybe you don't know Jesus personally today. Maybe you haven't received that salvation yet in your heart and life. And so you're not sure of this joy that we speak about today. But can I tell you something? You may not have come in with it, but can I tell you this? You can leave with it. You can leave with that joy in your life because that joy is found in relationship with a holy Savior, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose again on the third day so that you could have eternal life and victory with God the Father. So you can know Him today. You can have that joy today. Now in chapter 12, it reveals to us how the people in Jerusalem worshiped as they decided and dedicated this reconstructed wall that God had allowed them to build. When they looked at what they saw inside of the city gates, yes, the houses were in the process of being rebuilt, the businesses were in the process of being rebuilt, but there stood the temple, fully rebuilt. There was the wall that protected them, fully reconstructed, and their hearts welled with worship. And so they said to themselves, as they said to one another, we need to make sure that God gets the glory for what's going on around here. We need to make sure that we're not just patting Nehemiah on the back. We're not just saying good job to the workers, but we're saying thank you, Almighty God, for what you've done in our presence. And so they began to worship. There's three significant aspects of their worship that I want us to notice together today. The first one simply is this. I want you to notice the scope of their worship. You found that in verse number 27 when we read that together. Because the Bible says, now the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all of their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they could celebrate the dedication with joy, with songs of thanksgiving, with songs to the accompaniment of the cymbals, the harps, and the lyres. The first act of worship was to assemble the people, not just those inside of the wall, because that only represented, as we found out last week, about 10% of the people. So they needed to reach the other 90, and so they invited all the people from all the surrounding areas to come on in. They needed those with those skills, those abilities, those gifts, like the people you saw standing here in front of you just a few moments ago who God has given that ability, that skill to sing and to sing well. They needed them to help with the worship. They needed every person to be a part of what was going on. In fact, this is really a national gathering of God's chosen people from every village and from every city. They're coming from everywhere. I picture in my mind, if you will, like it would be here on a Sunday morning as you see people lining up to pull into the parking lot and people moving through and finding their place and welcoming each other as they walk in together. And I can just see that around the city of Jerusalem, that these caravans are coming from every direction and everyone's coming for the same reason. They're going to worship together. It was a corporate time of worship, a corporate time of gathering God's people. And the same applies to us today as the born-again believers today. Yes, we can worship privately. Yes, we can worship remotely. Of course we can do those things, but the Bible calls us to gather as the body of Christ and join together in our worship of God. He wants us not only to worship Him as individuals, but worship Him as a body. Worship Him as a church. Worship Him as a corporate body that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He wants from us. The Bible tells us in the Scriptures in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, isn't that something God tells us? Look, I know your tendencies. I know the temptation is to stay away from that corporate worship, but He reminds us we need each other. We need each other. We need this corporate time of worship. We need to gather as the body of Christ. We need to come together as men and women who love the Lord and who are serving Him. Corporate worship has great benefits for those who participate. He tells us that it promotes steadfastness in our faith. I can tell you that there are times when any of us and all of us have weaknesses in our faith, and we start to let doubt enter in, and we're in a difficult season and things just aren't right now, and we're struggling. Maybe our heart is broken. Maybe our soul feels crushed, and the temptation in those times is to draw away from the church. When the truth of the matter is, if there's ever a time we needed the church, that's when we need it. That's when we need our brothers and sisters in Christ who are redeemed by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus, who can gather around us, who can encourage us and lift us up in the time of our weakness. They had steadfastness of faith, but they also encouraged each other and were encouraged by others. God gives us opportunity to praise God with other believers. And when we gather on these Sunday mornings, we do so that God may be glorified through us as we are drawn closer to Him. See, that's what worship does. When you and I both are focusing our worship on God, it draws us closer together. It draws us closer together. You say, well, I don't know this person that's over here on this other side, or I don't know that person in front of me. I don't know that person behind me. That doesn't matter. When you are worshiping with them, you are being drawn closer to them. You see, because you and I are here for the same purpose. You and I are here to accomplish the same thing. The scope of their worship was corporate. But then look at verse number 43, and we'll notice the source of their worship. As we go down to verse number 43, the Bible says, and on that day, they offered great sacrifices and they rejoiced because God had given them great joy, and the women and children rejoiced as well, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from far away. Now, you don't have to be a Bible expositor. You don't have to be someone who's gone to a seminary or have a theology degree to pick out the theme of those couple of verses. In fact, it tells us that four different times in those two verses, the word joy or rejoice is used. What is it that brought them together? What was the source of their worship? Anybody want to take a guess? Joy. Yeah, that's right. Joy. That's what it was. It was joy. It was joy. They were celebrating. They weren't there for a funeral. They weren't there for a solemn purpose. They were there to celebrate. And I know sometimes we walk into this place and we may feel like doing anything but celebrating. Maybe the world beat us down that week. Maybe things fell apart that week. And it's hard to find that joy to celebrate. But when we gather together, can I tell you what happens? Your joy begins to rub off on me. And my joy begins to rub off on you. And their joy rubs off on them. And your joy rubs off on them. And your joy rubs off on those in the way in the back. And those in the back, their joy rubs off on Jerry, who's the only one to sit in the front. Can I tell you something? Joy rubs off on each other. We feed on it. It's contagious. And joy is the source of their worship. And here's, and I love the words found in verse number 43, because God had given them great joy. God was not only the object of their worship, He was the source of the joy in their worship. They weren't just happy because there was a new wall. They weren't just celebrating because the temple was completed. They weren't just celebrating because they saw construction going on within the city walls. They were celebrating because they had a God who gave them joy. They served a God who had brought joy to them by being in their presence and being in their midst, and giving them the opportunity to do the same. Some of these Israelites had lived in captivity. Some of them have lived among the ruins in Jerusalem. Others have been forced to live elsewhere just to survive. But now they're all back together. Those who had been taken by the Babylonians, those who were captive under the Assyrians, those who had lived among trash heaps and rubble heaps and scraped for food, those who had to go to foreign lands to find just a home to live in, they all come back together and they said, at the end, God is worthy of my praise. He brought us back. He brought us back. We didn't deserve it. We had rebelled against Him as a people. We had disobeyed His word. We had denied Him the lordship that He was due. But yet, God loved us so much that He brought us back. That's joy. Can I tell you why we need to be joyful today? Because every person in this room, and me the chief among us, deserve all the heat that hell has to offer. That's why we ought to be joyful today. So joyful because that's what we deserve? No, joyful because that's what Jesus saved us from. Joyful because that's what He's delivered us from. Joyful because that's where I should be, but I don't have to be. Joyful because there's a God in heaven who, when I was unworthy to even be thought of, He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. That's why we need joy. He's not only the focus of our joy, He's the source of our great joy. Their worship was fueled by their joy for how good God has been. Listen, you may not have had ribeye steak every night this week. You may not have had the newest clothes to wear every day this week. You may have driven an old clunker that you just prayed would get you to where you were going every day this week. But can I tell you this? God was good to you. God was good to you this week. He made sure you had food. He made sure you had clothing. He made sure you had what you needed. You may not have everything you wanted, and none of us ever will. Because if we ever get what we want, we'll just want something else. But He does make sure we have what we need. He's a good God, and He is worthy of worship. As people and as a nation, they had been unfaithful to God. They had embraced false gods. They had brought idols into their homes. But even when these people were unfaithful to God, God remained faithful to them. And maybe this week you found yourself being unfaithful to God. Maybe this week you did that which you had not planned to do and did not want to do, but you did it. And now you find yourself with guilt and shame. Can I tell you something? Even if you were unfaithful to God last week, He was faithful to you. And that's still a reason to rejoice. This is why we gather to rejoice over the goodness and the graciousness of God. To just say thank you for your unwavering faithfulness to each of us. We deserve hell, and He's given us life. But God, who is rich in grace and mercy, has provided a means of escape from our death sentence. And in Jesus, God's holy and divine Son, He's provided forgiveness of sin, eternal life, to all who will repent of their sin and come to Jesus in faith and surrender to Him. The scope of their worship was corporate. They did it as a body. The source of their joy was they were worshiping great God and His faithfulness. But then I want you to notice, lastly, the substance of their joy. Their corporate worship that day was about so much more than a wall. Yes, the wall might have been kind of the focal point of that moment. They brought the choir members and they had them go up separate ways upon the wall and to parade together toward a particular set of steps that came down in front of the temple. And they came down together and they sang together. The cymbals were sounding, the harps were playing, the lyres, their music and melody filled the air. And they marched that day to a restored temple by proceeding along that route along the wall. And can I tell you, in the midst of all that was going on that day, the very substance of their worship was their restoration and hope. They knew they had a future. They knew they had a future. When just 52 days before, the wall was in shambles. When just 52 days before, the wall was nothing but ruins. When just a few years before, the temple was nothing but heaps and mounds of stones on top of each other. When their businesses lay in ruin, their homes burned and destroyed, people scattered everywhere. You know why He took them up on that wall? Because He wanted them to see all that He had done. They looked out over that city on that beautiful wall, and they saw the surrounding area with the wall completely built. They saw the temple that they were marching toward. They saw the construction that was taking place. They saw the people regathered in the city. And suddenly they realized, we have a hope. We have a hope that when we fail, we can be restored. When we've gone as far away from God as we can, that He's not going to forget us. And He's going to bring us back, and He can forgive us, and He can restore us in spite of how disobedient we've been. You see, what kept them marching that day, what was the very substance of their worship, was their restoration and their hope. That's why you and I sing today. We sing as redeemed people who have been set free from the penalty of sin, who have a hope of heaven, who don't deserve anything but now have eternal life. We sing because we have joy in the One that gives us hope. And we sing joy because we have been restored. You didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it, but He gave it to us because He loved us. We sing with joy, we have been restored, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Restoration and hope, the two primary things that every person needs. You see, if you ever lose hope, you lose your will to live. And I believe that in this book, we see a people that had just about got there. They were just about to that place where they had lost their will to go on. But then God intervened and He began bringing back these groups of people. One that came with Ezra that began to work on the temple. Another that came with Nehemiah that built the wall. And now they realize that I do have hope. I do have hope. Can I tell you something? I don't know where your life is today. You may be as low as you've ever been in your life. You may be right now in a heap on the floor. Your life may be in nothing but shambles and pieces, but can I tell you something? With God, you still have hope. He can take those pieces and put them back together. He doesn't want you to be what you once was. He wants you to be better. He wants you to be more like Him. He wants to reconstruct your life. He wants to rebuild what life has torn asunder. He wants to put it back together so that He can be glorified in it and that you can have a hope because of His restoration. That's what He wants from us. On a day like today, the substance of our corporate worship should always center around the restoration and hope because we have joy in a God who is faithful. Wow. Y'all listen fast. Y'all know I preached that the quickest I think I've ever preached a message on Sunday morning before? Y'all get me excited. I preach fast. Y'all got to start amen a lot more, okay? So here's what I want to do. Hey, we're done. All right, I want to close it out, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond, okay? I want you to know that we need corporate worship. You need it. It's not just something you should do, ought to do, could do. It's something we need to do. You see, you got an enemy that understands that. And if he can throw anything in there that will keep you out of here or keep you out of a time of corporate worship, wherever it may be, he'll do it. Because he knows you're stronger and you're better as a believer when you've been in corporate worship. So he wants you out. You and I need it. We need it because God is the source of our worship. We can still worship Him when our hearts are broken. We can still worship Him when we sit amongst the rubble, because He is faithful, even when we're unfaithful. His worship is there because He restores us from our brokenness. He gives us hope in the middle of our hopelessness. And today we need to let our hearts rejoice, because there is hope in the God that we serve. There is restoration in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him today, I beg of you to open your heart and let Him reveal His power, His love, His grace, His mercy to you. But preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know all about me. I keep that to myself. But can I tell you something? God does, and He still loves you. He hadn't ripped you off. He hadn't stricken your name from anything. You are still important to Him. You are still the apple of His eye. You are still the focus of His love and grace. And today He invites you to be restored. He invites you to come back. He invites you to come to that place where we find ourselves broken before a holy God, saying, I give you all that I am, all that I have. Thank you for loving me. If you don't know Him personally, today's a great day to find yourself at the foot of a cross where Jesus died for you, realizing that He didn't have to die. He did die because He wanted to die for you. He didn't have to, but He did, because He wanted to pay for your sin so He could rise from the dead for you to have eternal life and forgiveness with Jesus Christ. Today, let your heart rejoice because you have salvation in Him. Do you know this God of great joy? In just a moment, we're going to stand together. We've got a song of invitation that we'll sing together. And as we sing that song, may it be so much more than just words that come out of our mouth to a melody or a tune. May it be a heart cry from us to the Lord. And as we sing these songs, as we close our service together today, may your heart be renewed with great joy. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. We know we're unworthy. We know we're messed up. We've fallen short so many times in so many ways. But God, we thank you that when we're unfaithful to you, you're never, ever unfaithful to us. Lord, we pray today that for that one that's sitting in this room that just didn't have joy when they walked in. There were so many things that they were feeling, so many other things that were going on in their life, but joy just wasn't one of them. Lord, how I pray that in these next few moments, you remind them of your love, your grace, your mercy, that you remind them that you give them hope and restoration, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And may today, Lord, their joy be renewed. Lord, if there's one sitting in this room right now that doesn't know Jesus Christ personally, they don't have the joy of salvation in their life because they've never experienced it for themselves. May today, right now, Lord, in the stillness of this moment, may your love and grace invade that heart, showing them that they are a sinner that cannot save themselves, and that outside of Jesus Christ and Him alone, they have no hope. But in Him, they have the hope of eternity. And may today be the day, Lord, when they surrender their life to the Lord Jesus, coming to Him in repentance and faith and surrendering their life. Lord, today, fill them with that joy of salvation. May every believer in this place leave here with joy in their heart. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing together. Much for being here today. God bless you. It's certainly good to see you. You know, the Bible said, we read it earlier in Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So that's how we're going to walk out of here today, okay? Brother Josh is going to lead us in a song that gives us the opportunity to do just that. And after we've had a time to praise the Lord, then we will be dismissed. I do want to take a moment to lead us in a closing prayer before we sing. Thank you again for being here. I appreciate your attention, your attendance so much. And I think you're going to beat the Methodist to the restaurant today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for allowing us to be here. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are. And we know, God, that worshiping you is our greatest and highest honor. It's what we'll do through all of eternity as believers. And Lord, may we not forsake the practice of it now. May we gather together every opportunity we can to tell of your goodness. Dismiss us now with your great love and keep us safe as we travel to our respective homes. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things He